in terms of other signs.
Dale Enoch continued, side three.
Gothic politics in the Deep South. Have you ever read the chapter on Faubus and that?
I'm not sure. I think I have.
It is, here's, he came over and interviewed Harry Ashmore and a few other people, and it's, it puts Orville in the same camp, exactly. He's just a mirror image of George Wallace in the 50s and early 60s, of Herman Talmadge, of every just absolute blatant racist that the South's ever produced. And I don't think that's a fair evaluation of him.
How does he really differ from Wallace, who started out as a moderate and made race into a viable political issue? Or?
Wallace started out as a populist.
Or Talmadge, who was using race, inherited race as a political issue, but then moderated. Where does Faubus differ from the others? That's my question. I mean, there's no question that he exploited race politically.
And he tried
to a large extent, right?
And
there's some question as to detail, but no question about him exploiting race as a political issue.
And Dale has been one of the most recent people to try it again in 1970. There are very few candidates in the South since the 60s that have tried to exploit race as an open issue.
Lester Maddox, to a limited extent.
Unfortunately, I wasn't in the state during the Democratic primary in 70. In some ways, my impression is that he came across more demagogic in this campaign than he did in previous campaigns, which really surprised me. And incidentally, Bill Levitt was the chairman of my board, was handling all this campaign this year.
How did he deal with race this year? Because I just didn't really follow that government's race.
Well, he...
What was he saying? What were his code words?
Mostly bussing, but the issues that he was hammering at this year are all the things that were designed to remind us of the image of Faubus in the 50s and early 60s, which is doesn't make any sense from the standpoint of strategy.
So he had bussing. Was anything
he
else?
He had bussing. He had communism. He had drugs. The thing is, we've got a communist professor at UALR. So Arkansas is probably about the only state in the country where communism will be an issue in 1974. No, I don't think he was hitting crime that much. Primarily his three were bussing, communism, and drugs.
But there clearly was our attempts to exploit issues and concerns of the past, right? So he must have viewed that as the thing that got him elected and re-elected.
I don't know. That's the thing that doesn't make any sense as to why they were... Because the thing is, I don't think... We had Faubus for a session last year, and it's I think you'll find it an interesting session with him. But I don't view Orville Faubus as a man who is just totally ruled by emotion. The man was he emphasizing these issues this year because that was really where he came down philosophically, that these are the most pressing concerns facing the state of
Arkansas. No, but that's the way he won before.
then that says that, that the man who is generally perceived to be one of the smartest politicians to ever hit this state has just totally lost touch with reality.
Well,
which may be true.
Right, take one of your two alternatives, though.
Which very well
that's
may
where
be
he
true.
Either comes down that way, or he did it in order to as a campaign strategy, because that's the way he won in the past. Either way, what does it say about him?
I think the most, the strongest argument is that he's lost touch with reality. Because the thing is, it's, you know, I think generally in the press, you know, we've felt for years that you have to be a moderate to win state office, I think, in this state, as a newcomer. I don't think I'm, you know, a racist, demagogic approach can win state office in this state. Not a major office. Every one we've had run in the past.
Or
today,
even a nomination.
Well, that's one of the same. This point.
Yeah, that's right.
And we've had some real conservatives trying. Just haven't been able to pull it out.
Do you think the well, let me ask, go back to the legislature. The institutionally, has Bumpers greatly, the impression I have is that Bumpers has greatly enhanced the power of the governor's office to some extent through reorganization primarily. And did that result in a weakening of power by whom? By the legislature or by these independent boards and commissions? Is the who dominates?
The legislature has finally started making some moves to update their structure. And this occurred beginning in the session last year, and the process has been continuing in the interim.
Well, the legislature has a great deal of institutional power here, don't they? Or not? I'm just saying that majority vote on a veto. But they don't exercise it. Why not?
They haven't been structured to. They don't have
the seniority prevail in the legislature in both houses?
Generally, but seniority I don't think is certainly not the
it's not strict.
It is in Congress, for example.
How about the Speaker? Does the Speaker have much power? And who can does the what's the role of the governor in the election of the Speaker? Okay, does the Speaker appoint committees? How about, does he name committee chairman?
Yes.
Does the Speaker usually rotate it?
Every term.
It is. Okay. So is that just by tradition?
Yeah. So nobody has just really built up,
Now how about in the Senate? How are they, does the Lieutenant Governor preside?
Yes, and the Lieutenant Governor used to have the same powers, roughly, that the Speaker of the House did until Rockefeller won and is brought in a Republican Lieutenant Governor, at which point they stripped the Lieutenant Governor of any authority to do anything except preside.
Does he vote on ties?
On ties.
How are committees appointed in the Senate?
They probably would have taken that away, too, if it hadn't been in the Constitution. Committee on committees.
In effect, the Democratic caucus. And is the committees, is it usually the senior member becomes chairman, or is it by vote?
Senior. So seniority has an effect, but the problem is that it has not been a strong operation because it's extremely low pay. They've had no interim power. powers or anything.
Have annual sessions?
Things. No, every 2 years.
It's still every 2 years.
Is there a limit on them?
60 days.
But the governor really is in control.
Which can be extended, but and has occurred, but not extended for very long.
Who can extend it?
The legislature.
And
now, the thing is that, see, one thing they tried this year, last year, it was kind of interesting. They finally decided that, because once they adjourned sine die, they're dead until the new legislature's election comes in the next 2 years, or until the governor calls them into session. The special sessions in Arkansas, they cannot consider anything except what the governor includes in the call. They have no authority to include any matters of their own.
Can he call as many of these as he wants to?
Uh-huh. And the thing is, their pay goes down to nothing when they go into special session. It's just a vast losing proposition. It's losing as it is, but they get... I've got it around one of the newsletters, I think, but it's something like $12 a day per diem for regular session. It goes something like $5 a day for special session.
What did he get in salary?
$100 a month. Now, the thing was, last year, they decided that rather than adjourn, sine die, they were just going to recess until January of this year. And then if there were things that had come up that needed to be dealt with, then they could just call themselves back into session, or they could just get together in January, they look over the situation, decide if they needed to do anything, and if they did, they'd come back into session. If not, they'd adjourn, sine and die. There would be a couple of advantages to going that route. One would be that if they came back into session, they're still in regular session, which means they have control over what they can consider, and they'd still get the more pay. They came back in January and just a darn tiny die.
And you have an executive budget, I take it. Has there been any move, in addition to having an executive budget, has there been any move to increase the governor's salary? Or increase legislative salaries?
It's on the ballot again this year. The Constitution Amendment that will be voted on this fall.
That includes legislative?
Commission. Everything except it would include executive, legislative, and county officials.
You'd have a commission to set these salaries? And how would the commission be selected?
I've forgotten. It's a certain number to be named by the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, and a certain number by the governor, a certain number by the legislature.
How are judges selected in Arkansas?
Straight ballot.
At all levels?
Circuit and chancery judges were all running this year. Supreme Court justices have to run staggered terms.
How about vacancies? Who are they appointed?
Does the legislature have any staff at all or any post office functions?
They're finally, this is one of the main things that's come out of this Eagleton study. Which incidentally, you may want to take that along and glance at it. So I'm strengthening the Eagleton study, which they have instituted since the 73 session, interim committees now, with some staffing for the committees. They've streamlined the committees, establishing 10 committees in each, the House and the Senate, which are all comparable, same 10 committees in both bodies. In the past, all they've had really, they died, and they had an Arkansas Legislative Council, which had a staff. Minimum. This is the reason, they were just outgunned. just simply couldn't compete. They didn't have the staff, they didn't spend the time to really be that knowledgeable. So they just really haven't been that strong.
So they've been essentially a rubber stamp?
Yeah, they certainly became that during Faubus' years. During Rockefeller years, of course, you got into that situation then. The Democrats were all saying, of course, you know, for years you accused us of being a rubber stamp, and now we're trying to show some independence and you criticize us, because at that point they'd decided they'd start opposing Rockefeller. And by 1970, they were tired of being criticized and started cooperating again.
Is the conventional wisdom that Arkansas is likely to be returned Democratic in national elections soon?
Not necessarily.
Yeah, but if you have, you know, suppose you end up with Teddy Kennedy against Gerald Ford.
I think Ford would carry it. Because the independence is here. People have learned to split their tickets, and they're willing to do it. It's just that.
But you say you've got to be a moderate to progressive to win in a statewide election, but in a national election they'll vote conservative, is that?
Well, the difference is between the perception of Pryor or Bumpers, who are generally considered to be moderate, and Teddy Kennedy, who would not be classified by most Arkansas voters as moderate, I don't think. I'm not sure that a person clearly identified as a liberal would win in statewide Arkansas.
Is anybody in Washington in the congressional delegation?
Now, ironically, Bumpers is probably considerably more liberal in his image.
Is anybody in the congressional delegation who sort of plays a heavy hand in state politics? Does McClellan take any role in state politics?
Not much.
Wilbur Mills?
To my knowledge. No, for the most part, they don't get involved.
Did Mills hurt himself in Arkansas? It's his 72 race for president. We keep reading things out. Mills has weakened himself in Congress, and that was, it's all started with the 72 race.
I don't think that's hurt him as much as the milk deal's going to hurt him.
That was tied in with it, wasn't it?
Yeah. But in terms of comparing that to the money problems, to just simply evaluation of his political judgment, which suffered some, but not fatally. But the milk thing just comes across as more than just poor judgment. And the thing is, I think that is going to hurt him some, because the general perception has been that Wilbur Mills, whatever else may be said, the man is honest, and he apparently was extremely clean until he lost his judgment about presidential politics. Because he's, an example is the fact that apparently ever since he's been in Washington, he takes a standard deduction on his income tax. He doesn't even try to itemize or claim deductions or anything. Just simply because he was head of that committee and in charge of tax legislation in order to avoid problems. The only explanation I've heard is that he just got carried away in 72 and lost his better judgment in the process. But he's gonna get hard this fall. We've got, you can see some of the clippings of Judy Petty's that'll give you an idea of the sort of tack she's going to be taking this fall. She's already been hitting. She came out last week calling on Jaworski to start investigating Wilbur Mills, too. I don't know what's going to happen with him, but I have a feeling that he may not be up there that many more years. Maybe one more term.
Now, if he's up there one more term, Fulbright is out. McClellan presumably is on his last term, and that he's going to have a... And that he can't, almost lost last time, and he's going to be 6 years older this time.
Yes, but he'll have a big thing going for him.
But the only seniority left.
If they ever get campaign, if they ever reform, quote unquote, our campaign laws like they're trying up there, I don't think you'll ever beat an incumbent senator in the state of Arkansas again. Until they're 119 and die. That bill that just passed, the last bill that passed the Senate, would limit total expenditures in a primary campaign in Arkansas to $109,000. Man, you ain't got a chance against an incumbent for $109,000 unless you're a Dale Bumpers with fantastic credibility.
Even if you financed it with public funds. I mean, if you had $109,000, even if that was publicly financed.
Well, the thing is, in a Democratic primary, you know, public money doesn't make any difference because there's money available. David wasn't hurting for it. He spent $500,000, pretty close to it.
Where did his money come from?
He only come up with 48%.
Huh? Oh, you mean in the Senate race?
I just don't think you can.
Where did his money come from besides organized labor?
I don't know.
Yeah, we better go to the motel pretty quick.
So he said he had the green left
thing is,
and the right. This time Fulbright did.
The leadership of the right. He had some of his celebrated supporters, which again were really created some problems for him. He was endorsed early in the campaign by Gerald L. K. Smith. Late in the campaign, he had State Representative Frank Hensley, who is going to head George Wallace's campaign in Arkansas in 76, working for him and sending out letters for him. Jim Johnson, former Supreme Court Justice, segregationist, was supporting him. John Norman Warnock, former head of the Independent Party, AIP in Arkansas, was supporting him. The chairman of the AIP in Arkansas right now endorsed him early in the campaign. It really gave him problems. Blair was quoting that article I was showing you yesterday that saying, you know, because we did look schizophrenic, and they did.
Plus, you have Paul Newman and John Woodward. Right?
Not down here.
Yeah, in the paper this morning, it's they contributed $3,000 or $4,000 to his campaign.
So Fulbright, the issue in Fulbright is that he was perceived by his opposition as being soft on communism, but the issue was really Fulbright and his record. It was more
for that
unstated issues.
Yeah.
And the same thing with Faubus.
The thing is, Bumpers never. The same thing would have been true with Faubus. It's it made no difference whether Bumpers talked about Faubus or not for that anti-Faubus vote. It was related. And those people were voting on the basis of that issue. So, it's really tough to talk about issues.
But it's a combination personality, the fact that with Bumpers' personality versus the issue of Faubus versus the issue of Fulbright versus the issue of Rockefeller, really. Wasn't it?
Yeah.
And hadn't Rockefeller also himself become an issue to
to the extent that he couldn't work with the legislature. He had the problem with alcoholism. So the other candidates were the issues in all three cases.
Yeah. The thing is, of course, Bumpers this time could talk in general terms about his record and performance, et cetera, which most people probably could not name it very far, but the general perception was that he had done a good job, he had been a credible, effective governor. There are apparently some real misconceptions about Bumpers. I don't know to what extent, but I'm sure he is to the left of his image. His image, at least in the mainstream of Arkansas, he's not. He's probably more liberal than we're probably quite a bit more liberal senator than we've had with Fulbright across the board.
But it seems that in Arkansas the issues really revolve around the personalities of the candidates, but there are issues involved in those personalities. And it's not the fact that Bumpers takes liberal positions that creates any issues involving him, it's that he projects his image of integrity and trust. Am I correct? I mean, that's much more significant in the voter's mind than what he's done or hasn't done in the legislature.
That he's honest, he's able, he's been effective. There were very few things that he
perceived as being a dynamic soldier.
Yes, I'd say so.
Was the 35% of the vote that Bubba's got and Fulbright got essentially the same vote? Did they draw from the same groups?
No.
They did not?
No.
No, the right wing. So why was the right wing supporting Fulbright?
Well, I'm not sure that those leaders were able to bring that many along with them. That's all. It just wound up with a lot of.
That's what I say. When the same people who voted for Pryor are the same ones who voted for Bumpers?
No, I don't think it would break down that way in any of the races. For most of Fulbright's vote would have been liberal. He got some conservative vote. He got some special interest vote. And this is where it starts getting confused and crossing lines in terms of ideology. Fulbright has been a real friend of special interests. Agriculture, oil, bankers, the financial community in general. Now, you know, you're getting into some real conservative folks there. But Fulbright's been taking care of the farmers, and they're a farmer, and they're conservative. They wind up with some problems, but apparently he wiped out and did pretty well over in the agricultural area in the state. He had strong support of what oil industry we've got down in South Arkansas, at least the leadership. So it starts getting across lines.
Aren't those the same people who support Bubba's?
Not all together, no. Because, you know, that what percent of Fulbright's 35%, I don't even that make up, I don't know. But not that great. I think most of Fulbright's vote, basically, was the liberal on the left. The moderates apparently swarmed the Bumpers. But the liberals are, you know, those are the same people. All the people that I know, for example, who are working in Fulbright's campaign here, Little Rock, etc., all were Bubba's haters to death. Basically liberal. Probably all of them voted for Pryor.
you say in statewide races at this point in Arkansas, you were suggesting last night that the Democratic primary has reverted to being tantamount to election.
Yes. And I don't see any reverse that. Because it's a matter of perception. The thing is that, did you remember that newsletter we did back in January, I think, about the general election on the decline?
Oh, I'm sorry.
But the thing is, in the mid-60s, just simply looking at the pattern of turnout, when Rockefeller started running, 64, 66, the general election started going way up in terms of turnout. Generally, the primary went down. Starting in the early 70s, that started reversing. And right now, we're moving back very clearly to a situation where people look to the primary, which means that those people who in the late 60s nominally considered themselves Republicans had reached a point where they passed up Democratic primary, looked at general election, Republican primary, such as it was. Now we're coming back to the point that voters in Arkansas had always taken prior to the 60s, and if you want to have a voice in the state in government in Arkansas, you've got to vote in the Democratic primary. And the turnout just shot up this time. I think it's going to drop drastically this fall.
But if it drops drastically, then there is the potential.